Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love. All lesser values to me are potential BS. Love is the core value of all human existence. I intend to be on a lifetime journey in pursuit for love because I refuse to live my life trying to BS my way through relationships, BS my way through my projects in life. I intend to keep it as real as I know how so that in my life I can say at the end of my days, at my last breath, I sure did reach for love alone. Now, I want to say it again for emphasis. I am no professor or perfecter of love. I am a pilgrim on a journey of love. My pilgrimage is love, which means on any given day, I'm still trying to find my way. There's a poem for you. On any given day, I'm trying to find my way. My love is not perfected, but my love is being perfected day by day by day. From the moment as a human being that was first aware and sentient of other people around me, till this day at 68 years of age, I am learning what love is. I am studying. I am reaching. I'm praying. I'm in all forms that I know how, seeking to live a life for love alone. I am alive to love. All lesser values to me are potential BS. And that's why this is the No BS Bishop radio broadcast. I appreciate you joining with me. I am grateful for anyone who comes and gives me a half an hour of your time week in and week out. My goal here is to see to it that in every way I know how, I can unpack the principles, the philosophy, the psychology, the reasoning about love. And today, I want to talk to you about keeping love real, sustaining a real vision of love, and sustaining love in reality, not in some romantic fantasy. Now, I've had my fair share of romantic fantasies. I'm proud to say that I'm married to one woman for 47 years. Very, very proud of that in this day and age that we, Ginger and I, recognize that we are dinosaurs. But we intend to continue our days so that we're not extinct, that these old dinosaurs are not lost in some meteorological catastrophe, some asteroid hitting the earth and destroying these dinosaurs. Nope, we're still around, we're here, and we intend to stay here. But I got to tell you, even though we've had our fair share of romantic getaways and romantic life, romantic moments, we've had to deal with real love. Keeping love real is today's topic. I've got 5 points I want to review with you about keeping love real. So if you've got a pen and paper, make some notes about this. If you don't, just look us up again on the WPCA website. You can find all of our broadcasts. This is we're in our second year of doing this. I'm really proud of this project. I love this project. And because I love it, I want it to be as helpful as possible. So get a pen and paper and take some notes. I've got 5 means by which to keep love real. I also encourage you to just treat this as a counseling session. I'm a pastor of 49 years. That just boggles my mind. I don't know where all that time went, but boy, it came and went. And in those 49 years of ministry, I've done more than my fair share of pastoral counsel. I'm not a licensed counselor, but I would guess that if I were to apply to become a state-recognized licensed counselor, I could probably finish the credentials to do it. But I don't need the credentials. What I do know is that my credentials are nearly half a century long. I know that in my journey as a pastor, I've counseled multiple people through multiple tragedies and in multiple layers of pain and struggle and misery. But I, you know, and then there have been a lot of lighter issues, a lot of lesser things that have happened in people's lives that I've had to walk them through and talk them through. So all that to be said is I've got some experience in counseling. I know what it takes to help people think through what the rationale for living is. So I want to talk to you as a counselor, as a pastoral counselor. So get a cup of coffee and a pen and paper. I want you to take some notes. Let this pastor counsel you through how to keep love real. And the first thing, I've got 5 points in keeping love real today. First thing you have to do in keeping love real is to sustain a long view. Keeping love real isn't about a short-term vision. It's about a long-term vision. And in a long-term vision, keeping a long-term view, you have to know that one day doesn't make it all right. One day is just that. It's just one day. It's one day in a series of events, in a series of mistakes, a series of successes. In any given day, you're going to make some mistakes. On any given day, you're going to be disappointed. On any given day, the people receiving your love may wonder, well, I thought this person was committed to being a lover. And you have to recognize in yourself that you can make a mistake. But if you do make a mistake and there's any kind of mess involved with that mistake, clean it up. Clean up the mess. Own your behavior. Own what you did to create a mess. Don't just say, I'm sorry if you've made a mess. Say, I'm sorry, and here, let me help you. I'll get a broom and a dustpan. We'll clean up the mess I just made. And, of course, you know I'm speaking metaphorically. Yeah, you might have made a physical mess, but more often than not, when we're seeking to love people, we're not making physical messes. We're making symbolic messes. And so if you got a symbolic mess, clean it up. Talk about it in terms of real purposes. Take a long-term view of your love. Give yourself space to continue to gain ground as you are committed to keeping love real in the long term. The short-term vision of love, it will often leave us in a frustrated, perfection-driven mindset. It's okay to reach for perfection, but any one day is not going to be necessarily perfect. Long-term is the only way to maintain something that gives you momentum towards some perfection. But remember, if you get into a perfectionist mindset, you're gonna create a lot of frustration for yourself and for others if you're trying to keep love real. Keep a long-term vision. Look at the long view. How does this behavior today going to affect my behavior in a month? The second thing to do to keep love real is to maintain a vigil over your thoughts. Your thought life is so vital in keeping love real. If your thought life is full of negativity toward yourself, negativity toward others. See, you know, sometimes we have long-term negativity going on between our ears, but we never say it to people, or it may not even say it about ourselves out loud. And then we wonder why people have some feelings about us when we're around them. You say, well, I've never said anything to them about my negativity. Truth is, if you carry negativity internally, your negativity will bleed out in your words, your body language, and your behavior. It'll be shown in you. You know, on the positive side of this, on the positive side of this, if you maintain a positive attitude, it bleeds out. If you hope in life, if you have hope for your purposes and your projects, you show that. It comes out of you even without words. We know that. We all know positive people who don't always have to say positive things. We just know they have a positivity about their attitude. Where does that happen? It happens internally. They monitor their thought life. They monitor how they're reviewing what other people are or are not. They're reviewing themselves in a way that's healthy. We often say in AA, you know, if you had to live in the neighborhood between my ears, you'd know this is a scary neighborhood. Well, what we're talking about there is negativity can dominate the front porch of our life so much. Negativity in our conversations internally, negativity in our interactions with neighbors. All of that internal negativity, even if you never say it out loud, it bleeds out in your demeanor. It bleeds out in your attitude. It bleeds out in how you are viewed by and received by people. So keeping love real is a task that has to be done on a moment-by-moment basis. It's a task that creates for you daily homework. You have to be your own best teacher and say, listen, Mr. Dean, it's time for some homework. And in our homework, we're going to monitor our thought life for negativity, self-loathing, shaming, just negative words inside that are tearing you down or tearing others down. If you're going to keep love real, you're going to have to, first of all, have a long-term vision. That was number one. Number two, to keep love real, you have to monitor your thought life. What is going on inside is often likely to happen on the outside. Your internal reality will often become your external reality. In fact, I would take the word often out of there. Your internal reality becomes your external reality, even if you don't define it or say it right out loud. So in keeping love real, it really is a matter of daily homework. And the home is your inside life, keeping a vigil on your thought life. So, first of all, long-term vision. Second of all, maintaining a vigil on your thought life. And third, this is where it pivots. In keeping love real, you have to monitor how you have been speaking in terms of love to others. What is your view of love as you are verbally defining it? I'm not sure if this is always really well understood by people. We're every day verbally defining life. Now, I said in point two here that our thought life is what's constructing our externalities. But it's when we speak, when we are saying words, you know, the person that hears you the most is you. So when you hear your words, when your words are defining love in unrealistic terms or in negative terms, you're creating for yourself definitions that you're going to have to live by. Our words are our contract. In the Bible, it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Live by a yes and live by a no. If you say yes to some purpose, then be a person that keeps their promise. If you say no to some purpose, then be a person that lives by by declining some offer. That being said, it really reminds us to pay attention to our words. Our words are our definitions as we hear them out loud. And by the way, everybody else is hearing our words too. They're hearing our verbal definitions. So in your keeping love real, maintain a long-term vision, maintain a vigil on your thought life, and third of all, listen to yourself. Listen to your words. Make your words appropriate to your definitions of love. I believe this to be very true. If we will listen to ourselves over the course of a short-term amount of time, let's say it's 2-3 days, maybe a week, listen to your words, because in your words, you're hearing a self-prophecy. In your words, you're hearing the prophecy of what's about to come. So, as an example, if in your words you say, well, life just stinks, people are always going to screw you. If in your words you're always saying, there's no such thing as any kind of satisfying love. If in your words you're continually defining life by those marginal ways, by those marginal, narrow patterns, I promise you, you're going to live down to those narrow definitions. But if you can rearrange those words by rearranging your thought life, yes, if you can rearrange those words by saying, there are often disappointments in love, but I refuse to live by the level of my disappointments. I will not lower my expectations to the levels of my disappointments. I will find a way to be reappointed. I will lift my sights to a better goal. Now you're defining life in a healthier way. As you hear your words, as you know your own definitions, well, now you know what why those prophecies are coming to pass. You've heard of self-fulfilled prophecy, right? If you can say about something like, today's going to be a crappy day. Today's going to be a terrible day. And at the end of the day, when it is a terrible day, you say, yep, see, I told you. Well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. In fact, that particular day, you've spent all day long looking for how bad the day is. You've been looking for all the reasons why what you started the day as for being right. Yeah, see there, I was right all along. You know what's happening there? You're feeding your ego. Yeah, your ego is getting fed because you lived down to a self-fulfilling prophecy. And unfortunately, your ego is sagging under the weight of that as well. So your ego takes a beating. Your life is taking a beating. Your love life is taking a beating. And guess who's to blame? You are. I am. So when we listen to our words and we find in our words these kind of self-defeating patterns, it's time to do some homework. Take time to listen to your words and then take the time to rearrange your words. So first of all, in keeping love real, we need a long-term vision. We need to see the big picture of love. No one day is going to be all the defining that you need for your love life. Second of all, monitor your thought life. What you think internally is going to ultimately become an external reality. Then third, and you can see this is kind of a ladder, right? When you listen to your words, you're hearing your own definitions of life. You're hearing the prophecy of what's coming. When in your words, you're speaking things that are narrow and defeating and painful and unforgiving and misery-laden, well, then your life is getting defined by that. But if your words are aimed at, now, please hear me. I'm not suggesting you're going to do this perfect every time, but if you will aim, ready, aim, fire, steady your shoulder, steady your eye to aim at that bullseye, and the bullseye is love. Listen to your words and aim your words at love. If you've been disappointed, it's very appropriate to say, that was disappointing, but I refuse to live in my disappointments. I will rise, I will shine, I will move on from this disappointment, I will find a reappointment. Now, the fourth step, and you can see the progression here, in keeping love real. Long-term vision, number one. Monitor your thought life, number two. Watch your words, number three. And then number four, put action steps before yourself. What will my actions be as I listen to my words? What will my actions be to confirm my words as real? How will I act this day in keeping my words well demonstrated, that the fruit of my life matches the words of my life? Here's an example. Some of you who've listened to me any length of the time at all, you know this is true about me. I want my actions to match my words, okay? So my words have been, in times gone by, I drive into a large grocery store parking lot and I see shopping carts scattered all through the parking lot. A little shopping cart sits in a parking place that's in a good spot for getting into the store, and somebody just lazily left a shopping cart in a parking space. Now, my words in that moment can be one of two things. Yeah? Now, follow me now. One way is the negative way. I can look at that shopping cart and start cussing and cursing at those lazy people. How dare they drop that shopping cart off when they could have just taken it to the shopping cart corral, or maybe just gently pushed it inside the building. How dare the cart where my automobile could otherwise be parked. That's so lazy. I could curse them. I could shrink my vision of humanity down to my cynicism of how people leave a shopping cart in a parking space. Or here's what I do. In my words, I see a shopping cart. Yes, I can see how sometimes in our culture we've become entitled to have somebody else serve us. I can see that. But if I see that, then I correct that little behavior in our culture by parking in a different space and getting out, going right to that shopping cart that should have been put away and pushing that cart into the store or putting it into a shopping cart corral. That way, I'm doing something positive to match my words so that my actions are a good visual of my word definitions. Or I can say, and this is what I've trained myself to do, when I see a shopping cart left in a parking space, I endeavor to see that maybe some single mom with a baby on her hip as she's carrying groceries to her car and another little child at the side, maybe two children, she's trying to watch out for their safety, and it's all she can do just to get her baby into the car and into a baby seat and her children into the car and into their car seats and then get those groceries loaded into that car. It's everything she can do just to get it all done. If I can keep that inside of my mind and see that my actions are going to match, if I can see that's the possibility of that shopping cart, then my actions are going to follow up, and I'm going to serve that single mom, even though I may not have seen her. I may not even know that to be a fact. I'm going to serve that single mom by pushing that shopping cart where it belongs, and thereby my actions will match my words. That's a simple illustration, but I would urge you to try it yourself. Give yourself the permission, the starting line, the shot of the gun, ready, set, go, and give yourself permission to have actions that demonstrate a real love. Keeping your love real means it's everyday actions that will define what is happening around you. So keeping love real means I've got to have a long-term vision for my love. Number two, I'm maintaining an awareness of my thought life. Number three, I'm watching my words so that my words are good definitions of love. So that when I speak about love, I speak about it in a way that's defining it. Number four, I'm endeavoring to keep my actions walking toward my definitions that I've made in my words so that I'm keeping love real in my daily actions. There's so many other ways to do this, like paying it forward in a drive-through line, making sure, like if you're stopping at a McDonald's and you're buying a Happy Meal, then tell the clerk at the window, say, I want to pay for the meal behind me. That's another way of your actions to helping you keep your love real by your actions. And number five, last but not least, love yourself. Keeping love real means you love you. You love you even if you are disappointing to you, and nobody can be more disappointed in ourselves than ourselves. Love you. Make sure you're forgiving you. Make sure you're giving yourself space to succeed and space to fail. Make sure that, as I said here, in your words and in your actions, your thought life, make sure you're kind to the one person you live with the most, the one person you talk to the most, the one person you are alone with the most. I've often told people that about praying, you know, some folks like to be a little proud, you know, about how much they pray. I pray so much. I prayed all through Lent or whatever it may be, whatever goal they might have had. They prayed. Well, you know what? I tell people, no matter how much you've prayed, you are not talking to God more than you are talking to yourself. We are all in a daily conversation with ourselves. You know, this does relate to number two and three here in our thought life and in our words. When you are harsh, unforgiving, shaming, self-loathing, and abusive to yourself, it's going to show in your lifestyle. People will hear it, they'll see it, they'll feel it when they're with you. They will know this is a person who is unrelenting on themselves, keeping love real. To keep love real, you got to start with who you're living with 24/7, who you sleep with, who you eat with, who you drive the car with, who you work with. That person is with you everywhere you go, and that's you. And loving you is the best thing you can do for yourself. Here's a story I heard about a man who was an alcoholic, and he had taken the 12 steps, and he decided, you know, I'm gonna quit drinking, and he did. He was able to do it. But you know, in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, we are also taught that we've got to find peace with ourselves. That we have to be at serenity with ourselves. You can be dry. You can be a drunk that has given up on drinking. But I'll tell you what, you will be a dry drunk. You'll be a fire hazard if you are not careful to then love yourself. Well, here's a story about a man man who quit drinking, but he was still ostracized from his family. He was still at odds with just about anybody and everybody that came across his path. He could still see the faults of everybody. He could still turn a conversation down, hands down, negative, in any conversation, any setting he was in. He could always find the fault in somebody else. So this man decided, because he had the wherewithal and the financial means, he decided to get a sailboat and go out into the ocean blue and get away from all these dumb people, all these people that drove him crazy, everybody that was being so foolish and miserable to him. So he got on a sailboat, took all the supplies he needed to go out in the middle of the ocean, and he sailed the ocean blue. And then out in the middle of the ocean blue, he discovered one thing. He was still with himself. He was still unhappy. Out there in the middle of the ocean, he was still with the one person he couldn't stand the most, and that was himself. So when you are keeping love real, you've got to maintain a vigil on loving yourself. In the story of this gentleman, it turns around that he turned that sailboat home, went home, and took the 12 steps seriously about managing his internal life, his internal reality, and healing himself through loving himself. Knowing how to love yourself is one of the toughest things you'll ever do, and it's one of the best and most rewarding things you'll ever do. And I would encourage you, in the close of this episode of the No BS Bishop, give yourself the love you need to be healthy, to be alive, and to be positive. So the five steps of keeping love real: have a long-term vision. Number two, keep a watch on your thought life. Number three, listen to your own words. You'll hear yourself prophesying your own future by your words. Number four, let your actions match your words. And number five, love yourself. Well, every time we go through the No BS Bishop, I lead you in two exercises that I think are very valuable to all the above. And number one is breathing well, breathing deeply, and making sure you're giving yourself a daily Sabbath with a good lung full of air. And you should do what I'm about to show you about 5 minutes every day. Breathe in. On the count of three, I want you to take as much air into your lungs as you can physically push into the basement of your lungs. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it in there. And exhale. Ideally, what you should do is breathe in love and exhale gratitude. The second exercise I lead you in, I hope you don't get tired of this, but I do want you to be challenged to give love through your words, as we talked about today. Say the three most charmed, magical words in the human language, and those three words are, I love you. Give people the full intentionality of slowing it down. Give people the opportunity to look you in the eye when you say, I love you. Oh yeah, it's awkward. Oh yeah, it'll feel weird, and you should do it with appropriate people. I don't suggest you do it in ways that are inappropriate, but I do suggest that you do it in a way that challenges you and me to grow and to keep our love real. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve into BS, and I just won't live there, because I'm aimed at doing something beautiful in this life, because, oh baby, ugly, ugly, ugly has been done to death. God bless you all, and happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.